Funding for the Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute, where you get access to the most advanced treatment options, including a range of clinical trials. Learn more at upmc.com/centralpaheart.
Welcome back to The Spark. Our next guest is Roger Mazzarella, who is a retired biology teacher, member of the Friends of Cook Forest, and also a longtime amateur astronomer. And we'll be discussing next week's total solar eclipse and the best locations in the area that you can watch this phenomena. But first, let's talk about what exactly is a total solar eclipse. And like I said, we have Roger on with us. Roger, welcome to The Spark. Hello.
Well, it's kind of interesting because people think that, of course, the moon, every time we have a new moon, the moon should pass in front of the sun and create this solar eclipse. The problem is that what you would call the planetary plane, it's not like a piece of paper. It's not flat. So the moon varies in its position. And you may have noticed this. If you've ever got a pure east-west straight road, one night the moon is north of that road, another night it's south of that road. And this is because it doesn't really wobble. It's slightly off that flat plane. So we have to have a perfect alignment of both the sun, the moon, and the earth in order for us to have these eclipses. And they occur about every 18 months. Kind of interesting, we've gotten into a discussion with a lot of people about, what happens if I miss this? Well, the next time that it will possibly occur, is especially in Pennsylvania, is about 99 years.
Oh, wow.
So we're not going to be around. Now, there is a couple of eclipses coming back in the United States. So if you're California, Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Washington, Oregon, Montana, in 2044, there will be a solar eclipse there. And then in the very next year, there's going to be one that goes across California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, and then it makes a right turn and goes right down the peninsula of Florida, and that's in 2045. I don't know if I'm going to be around then, but some of your younger listeners, if they miss this, they might be able to hit that one.
So this total solar eclipse, how does this differ from other eclipses?
Well, there's actually three kinds of solar eclipses. There's a partial eclipse where the moon will just take a nip out of the sun, and you probably wouldn't even notice it because the sun is just so bright. Even with 99% of the sun covered, it is still 10,000 times brighter than a full moon.
Mm.
So you really wouldn't notice it. In fact, the only way you can actually look at it, and again, I stress this, is you need the solar eclipse glasses. These things, I think they sell them for about $1 all over the place.
Oh.
And the second time of solar eclipse is you don't quite have the perfect alignment. So the moon is a little farther away from the Earth so that it doesn't completely cover the entire disk of the sun. And this is called an annular eclipse. So there's actually a ring around the moon. And again, because the sun is so bright, it hardly changes the amount of light that we see. But again, you need to have the solar glasses. This, when it's a total solar eclipse, it completely covers the face of the sun. It's kind of interesting because a lot of people say, hey, well, I can still see features on the moon. And that's because, well, there's only a 100-mile wide section of the Earth that's being in the shadow of the moon. But the Earth is still radiating light back out into space, and it actually illuminates the dark side of the moon. You may have noticed this, like on a very early day or two after a new moon. It seems like you can see a bit of the moon, the entire moon there, and that's exactly what's happening. So there's three kinds. This is the total one. One of the things that's very interesting, if you're not in the path of totality, it's not even worth looking at in a way. I mean, yeah, it's going to cover up a little bit of the sun. You look at it with the solar eclipse glasses. But the truly fantastic thing is to be in the path of totality.
Mm. And why do folks suggest that you wear solar glasses?
Well, they actually have people that took them off when there was still a bit of a like a crescent of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually burned that into their retina.
Oh, wow.
So they see that it is that part of their retina is actually ruined. And so there is this crescent-shaped black spot in their line of vision perpetually.
Wow.
So what the solar glasses do, I mean, they knock out they're the equivalent of welder's glasses. So if you didn't have the solar glasses, there's no reason not to have them. I mean, every gas station and Walmart and store everywhere has got grocery stores have them all over the place. And again, they cost a buck. But that little piece of Mylar plastic that's in there, you can actually test it to make sure that you've got a good pair. If you go up to a LED light and you can just barely see it, you've got a good pair of glasses.
Hmm.
Otherwise, putting them on in a normal day, everything will be black. You shouldn't be able to see anything.
So
that's how much of the sun it actually blocks out.
So then for the person that can't or the person that just procrastinated, is there another alternative besides the glasses? Can they, you know, take a video through their phone or put their phone up and look at it through their phone? Are there any alternatives to look at it, or is it, you know, glasses or bust?
No, it isn't. You can actually make a little solar viewer with a it's the equivalent of a pinhole camera. So if you get a dark black piece of paper, a piece of cardboard, something like that, and just poke a hole through it, it will actually, and then hold it up from the sidewalk, you can actually get a focus point. You can actually see the solar eclipse as it progresses. On the sidewalk or another piece of paper or something like that, and you wouldn't actually be looking at the sun at all. Now, a lot of people think, okay, I'm going to take a picture of this thing. And there's two aspects here. First of all, when the sun is totally covered, you do not need the glasses. You can look at it with your eyes because you're not getting any of that ultraviolet rays coming in and ruining your vision. In fact, if you keep your glasses on, you won't be able to see anything because there won't be enough light. So you want to take your glasses off at that point. A lot of people are going to want to take pictures. I am a photographer. I have gone out and I've bought a special lens, sort of like it's got the same piece of plastic in it that the solar glasses do. And I will be able to photograph the solar eclipse as it occurs. But when totality occurs, I'm going to take that lens off.
Mm.
Now, if you try to take a picture of the sun with your camera or your whether you've got a regular camera or you're taking it with your phone, if any part of the sun is exposed, you'll fry the whole thing.
Mm.
So you won't have a camera anymore in your phone. You will fry the innards of your regular camera plus the lens. And, of course, if you're looking on the other side, you're going to fry your eyeballs out. So you must have that piece of plastic in front of it. So what you could do is, let's say you want to take a picture with your phone. Just cut off a section of a pair of solar glasses, and tape it to the front of your phone. That's all you need to do. And once the totality occurs, take that off, take pictures of the totality. When the totality ends and it becomes dangerous again, slap the little piece of Mylar plastic back on the front of the camera.
Now, you talked about totality and it getting pretty dark. What happens with wildlife, especially the wildlife that is nocturnal? Do they then wake up because it's this complete darkness?
I don't know if the ones that are nocturnal will wake up, but you will see a change in the birds. The robins will start to sing. The wood thrush will start to sing. You'll notice that. Maybe the owls will start to hoot a little bit more. But it doesn't really last long enough for an animal that is typically nocturnal, let's say mice or flying squirrels is a good one. They're not going to, there won't be enough time for them to get up and start moving around and then say, oh, I got up too early or the clock was wrong or something.
All right, so then the impact, it's not too grand on them. It's not too much of a interruption then, correct?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay. So, what are some of the best places to view this total solar eclipse?
Well, as I mentioned, I'm over here in Bowling Green, Ohio, on the west side of the state. The totality is just about – Bowling Green, Ohio is just about centered on totality. In fact, if you remember, I was mentioning that solar eclipses occur, over a certain course of time in the same spot. There is going to be another one going through Bowling Green in the year 2099. And if you think of it, think of the mathematics that has to be done that they can figure out exactly which spot on this planet is going to be covered by the shadow of the sun, 60 years from now, 80 years from now. But, so I'm lucky here in Ohio. Pennsylvania is going to have a little bit of a problem because it's going to be passed through Pennsylvania only in that keystone portion of the state. Centered on Erie, PA. And there is just going to be a ton of people that are going to be going down or up probably from Pittsburgh on I-79 or over on I-80 or coming over, say, Route 6 that goes across the top of the state to get to that point where they can see it. So they are – I've heard cities have declared states of emergency for that Monday.
Our guest today is Roger Mazzarella, who is a retired biology teacher, member of the Friends of Cook Forest, and a longtime amateur astronomer. And he is giving us this information about what a total solar eclipse is. So before we went to our break, Roger, we discussed about the prediction of these eclipses. So how do scientists predict the path of these eclipses?
It is very complex mathematics, but fortunately, the planets and the solar system works on a set of mathematics that is at least, especially nowadays with computers, very easily computed, so that they can produce a map for the next 100 years. And they will actually draw out the paths that a solar eclipse will take over the entire course of the planet. You can even get a solar eclipse at the North Pole or the South Pole. Scientists know where those are hundreds of years in advance. There's a very famous story. A lot of people possibly have read Mark Twain's A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. And so here we are, we're back in the 1800s, and the hero of the story knew that he's about to be judged and executed and all this other stuff, but he knew on that particular day that a solar eclipse occurred in England on June 21st, whatever the year was, 600, 700, something like that. And he mentions to King Arthur before he's about to get killed, hey, if you kill me, I'm going to blot out the sun. So they're just about to cut off his head. And all of a sudden, the sun starts to get covered over. And they realize, hey, maybe this guy isn't such a guy that we want to kill here.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because what are some of the cultural or historical significances attached to solar eclipses, if there are any?
Yeah, there are. There are quite a few, actually. Supposedly, when Jesus was crucified, a solar eclipse occurs.
Oh, wow.
When Muhammad dies, a solar eclipse occurred. When King Henry, I believe it was the 3rd of England, died, there was a solar eclipse within a couple of days. And so they started to, you add in Muhammad and Jesus and the king, and solar eclipses started to get the reputation of being a harbinger of bad things. There was a famous battle fought in South Africa with England versus the Zulus. And in the middle of the battle, a solar eclipse occurred. And at that time, you have to remember that the typical English kid that was in the British Army didn't have much of an education, probably never saw a solar eclipse. And they started to see this again as a bad omen, and that particular British army got totally wiped out by the Zulus. And again, so that just attaches more of this like legend that solar eclipse bring bad things. I don't know that anything's going to happen next Monday, but but you can see how that would happen. Why people would think that.
So how can individuals with seeing impairments, how could they enjoy this solar eclipse?
There's probably going to be streaming capabilities over people's computers. And I believe that most people that have some sort of a seeing impairment have special screens, lettering that's larger, and that sort of stuff. That's how I would do it if I had some sort of visual impairment. I would just go to the computer and watch it as it occurs. I mentioned again that people in Pennsylvania, where most of the people are probably listening to this, they're going to have to get up to the Keystone section of Pennsylvania to see totality. I urge you to make sure that the day before, 2 days before, you totally, completely fill up your car with gas. Make sure you have snacks. Make sure you have blankets. Make sure you have water, because traffic is going to be absolutely horrendous. Mm. I drove from Bowling Green, Ohio, down to near Nashville in 2017 to watch the solar eclipse that passed through there. And I took my granddaughter with me. She was 7. She had a great time, and we got to see it very easily. But coming back to Ohio, instead of the 5-hour drive that it should have taken, it took 9 hours.
Oh, wow.
Because it was just bumper to bumper all the way up I-71 and then I-75 up through the state.
So then there's,
you may have to stop, just pull off the road.
So then there's a bit of tourism attached to this as well then.
Oh, sure. I don't know if you read Cranker in the comics, Funky Winker Beans, bus driver. He's been out advertising that he's selling air mattresses in his house that people can rent for $100, $200, whatever it is. And somebody mentions, well, it's a good thing he didn't think of the attic. And he goes, oh, yeah, the attic. Yeah, but everything's sold out. Kind of interesting, I saw an advertisement for they're having a special Delta Airlines flight that is going to follow the path of the eclipse. Now, they can only go so fast, which means that instead of watching the eclipse for 4 minutes, let's say, totality, you'll get to see the eclipse for 20 minutes out of a scratched, cloudy, itty-bitty, little tiny jetliner window, which I thought, people are actually paying $10,000 for this. That's crazy.
Wow, $10,000. Woo.
Yeah, well, because they can only sell half the side of the airplane, you know. Otherwise, they'd have to wiggle the airplane all over the place so people on both sides could see it.
well, hey, if you got it, you got it. We talked about the animals here. So, how might the total solar eclipse affect agriculture and farming practices?
Oh, I don't think it'll do anything at all with that. Because, as I mentioned, that even with the sun covered with 99% of the moon, you have to remember that, again, that is still going to be 10,000 times brighter than the full moon. So there really won't be anything. It'll be too short a time. Like normally a sunflower would follow the sun, and that's not enough to make it come back to the starting point, because it will be near the end of the day at 3 o'clock. There won't be anything as far as agriculture goes. I don't know about the chickens and all that other stuff, or the rooster's going to start going. That's a possibility. But if I was a farmer, I'd just go about my business. If I'm up there in the Erie area and have my solar glasses and watch it while the 3 or 4 minutes that they get of totality.
Well, Roger, I want to thank you for joining us on The Spark today and just giving us all this great information that I'm more than sure our listeners are going to appreciate. Now you mentioned it before, but before we let you go, what's the best time to go out? If you're in central Pennsylvania, what's the best time to go out and check this out?
It's going to travel through Pennsylvania at around between 3 o'clock and 3:30. Totality will occur around 3:12, I believe it is, in Erie. If you're going to go up there and get in the path, and actually you have to be north of the town of Titusville. I think most people know that town. The Oil City and Titusville Railroad is a tourist railroad there. You have to be north of that point in order to be in the path of totality. And the closer you are to the center point, which is Erie, the longer totality will last.
All right. You heard it there straight from Roger Mazzarella. Roger, thank you for coming on The Spark and giving us all this great information. Yes, very much appreciated.